Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, it's a joy to gather in your name this morning and to look once again at a portion of your great prayer for us and for the disciples, which we are now disciples as well. And so lead us and guide us as we look at that prayer and then also as we will pray this morning. And so lead us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Now let's begin with singing 15. 15. We'll sing the first and last verse of 15. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple, meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Well, we're continuing this morning in John 17, and we're going to look at the last three verses of the prayers for the disciples. And I think there's great application for us as well, because we are now disciples too, aren't we? And I did do some notes this morning because I had a little trouble with these three verses, summarizing it down to real convenient summary. And so I don't want to confuse you with those, but I do have some. So last week we were looking at the scriptures of the disciples, and we ended with verses 15 and 16. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And this morning we want to look at the last three verses, which are, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. We see here, first of all, that last time and a little earlier in the prayer, he's praying that they would be kept from evil. But now here he's going further and saying not only that they be kept from evil, that they be in effect made good. Now this whole term of sanctification is one that there's a little bit of confusion over, at least in my mind, in my opinion, of the church generally. Generally the church looks at sanctification in terms of your growth in grace, of your growth maybe in your faith, of your putting away the old man and putting on the new, and that is a gradual and a long, lifelong process. And indeed, that is true if you want to identify it that way. That's really not the way it's identified here, however. Here it's identified basically as these are aorist verbs, which means it's already done. So how is that that Jesus can look backward and see us sanctified when we aren't even sanctified yet? Well, he also sees us pure, doesn't he, in the righteous white robes of Jesus Christ, although we're far from pure on our own life. And there are some interesting scriptures here that would lead us to that point in a way, because in John 10, Jesus said, of whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world of himself. He's talking now about the Father sanctifying him and sending him in the world. Well, how can that be? He's God, but did he not come into the world as a man? And so Jesus was sanctified by the Father, he says, and sent in the world. You are blaspheming because, in John 10:36, because I said I'm the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In Jeremiah, he said what? Before I formed you in the womb. Wow. I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. In Ephesians, we're told, before the foundations of the world, we were chosen in him. Yeah. And so we see here that it's all done in God's sight because he knows the end from the beginning. But we are not quite in that eternal state yet. And so although was not all the work done on Calvary to sanctify you and to sanctify me, could we be set apart any more by anything that could ever be done than what he's already done? And the answer, of course, is no. There's nothing that sets us apart other than the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And we receive that gift, then we are saved, we are sanctified. But by the same token, the day you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life was pretty much at that time, had a lot of sin in it. You had no real experience in watching the Lord deliver you. You had no real experience in watching the Lord, so to speak, come through when he put you in afflictions and in problems where you had no way out. And so you didn't, you knew enough to believe in him, but you didn't really have any real experiences in life to see him, so to speak, in action, to see him reflecting that relationship that he wants with each one of us. And so it's a little bit like that with his sanctification, because he is asking here the Father to sanctify the disciples. So if they're already sanctified, why is he asking the Father to sanctify them? Well, I think it is that double meaning, so to speak, that we're already positionally sanctified, but in reality, we don't know the truth. We don't know the Word of God. The day you believe, you don't know the Scriptures as well as you do today. Or at least I hope that's true. I hope you've learned a lot about the Word of God since you became a believer. And that's the whole purpose of the church, in a sense, isn't it? Of the discipling nature, anyway, in it. And that we would grow in the knowledge of the truth. So he's saying, set the disciples apart. How? By your word. Set your disciples apart by your word. He's actually, the words here are by your truth. But then he says what? What is truth? His word. His word. The Bible is true. The Bible is the truth. And it is the word of God that changes lives. You can have all the counseling in the world, and you can have all the accountability in the world by man and by woman or whatever, but it'll never change you because the change is only coming from the inside, right? Only the Spirit can change us from the inside, and that is done through the Word of God primarily. So he is saying, set them apart by your Word, and your Word is truth. Then he goes ahead and gives us, as well as them, this great commission. This is a great commission. You know, we have in Matthew, all authority has been given to me. Now you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Mark's gospel, he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. But here is another commission. And this commission is so precious because it's relating it back to himself. Because he's saying, as you, Father, sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So we're saved because of what he's done, right? But he came into the world to also show the world about the gospel, didn't he? He was the gospel, but he came to show the world of the gospel. He came to show the world what God is like. He came to show God's mercy, God's love. And it was, of course, demonstrated primarily on the cross. But he was sent into the world by the Father over and over and over again. we read in this prayer what? That the world may know who sent him, that they may know who sent him, sent by the Father, sent by the Father, so emphasized in this prayer. And here again he says, as you, Father, have sent me into the world, now I likewise are also, or in the same way, in the same means, have sent them into the world. So we're to be sent into the world the same way as Jesus Christ was sent by the Father into the world. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Kind of awesome in a way, kind of frightening in a way. But he's not sending us into the world in our own strength and your own wits and your own knowledge. He's sending you into the world to be led by the Spirit. Verse 18 of John 17, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So why are you sent in the world? Why are you not taken home as soon as you believe? Well, I think these are some of the reasons here. As the Father sent him in the world, so I send you into the world. To what? To preach the word, to preach the gospel for sure, to confirm it with the truths of the Bible, to charge other faithful men to likewise be disciples and to be evangelists and so forth. And it seems like it increases our challenge in a way to go into the world when we realize we're to go into the world the way Christ went into the world, because we're sent. Just as the Father sent him into the world, he is sending us into the world. So any of you want to say no to the Lord? Any of you want to say, well, I'm not going to go? Well, sometimes we do, don't we? We say, take me out of this world, Lord. I don't want to be here anymore. This is too difficult a place to be. But nevertheless, he has sent us into the world, and so we have that calling, we have that discipling. And then, verse 19, for their sakes I set myself apart, that they also may be set apart, again, by the word of God, by the truth. And so here is, again, the statement, also in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So there again, we kind of have a hint of that dual definition of sanctification, where it's all done in the Lord's sight even before the foundations of the world. It was all done, as he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. So on one hand, we see eternity meeting this real life here, where the real life, I say I don't mean real life, but I mean the life as we know it here on earth in time and space. And in one case, it's all done. In the other case, he's saying sanctify completely. And if we're already completely sanctified, why would we be told to sanctify completely? Well, because in these bodies, we're not yet in our glorified state, it would seem to me. And so Jesus is then, in summary, praying not only to keep the disciples from evil, but to make them good. And through the word, we need to see things as they are. We get the total distorted view when we look at the world, don't we? Totally opposite. I was just reminded this week of Romney in being criticized so much for going to London and telling them the truth about the importance of security in the Olympics, and he got all kinds of flack for that because they didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear, oh, things are good, you've done a good job. And when he said, watch out for this, watch out for that, then they took it as being undue criticism of them, and he didn't know what he was talking about. Well, he ran an Olympics, so he does know something of what he's talking about. But the point to me is that truth is now not preferable to political correctness. Political correctness is what the world is trying to espouse, at least the government, aren't they? So we need to see things as they are, and we can only see that through the Word of God, because that's the only thing that's true. The Word of God is true. What you read, all the books you read, I don't care who writes them, they may not, they're certainly not anointed by the Spirit and written by the Spirit, so they very probably aren't all true. But the Word of God is true, isn't it? And we also, through the Word, need to hate sin. We've been given everything, haven't we? There isn't anything that He's held back from us, and the only thing we can do, in my opinion, is to mess it up through sin. We can slow this sanctification process, if you want to refer to that, down by sin. We separate ourselves from God, and we can actually go backward in our sanctification process, in a sense. If we start to get sin in our life, and we get more sin in our life, we get enough sin in our lives, what does the Lord say? If you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we could argue all day on, can you lose your salvation or whatever, and I don't want to even think about that. But we are told to be obedient to the Lord if we love him, to keep his commandments. And we are told to stay out of sin, aren't we? So we want to hate sin. We want to see the truth through the Word of God. We want to recognize that life is short here on earth, and death in these bodies is imminent. The things of this world are little of no value. All the things you work for and have been told and taught to aspire to, most of those are of little eternal value. And so as Jesus was sent into the world by the Father, even so he sends us into the world to be set apart to do what he would have us to do. And so we also have here in this prayer the testimony of Jesus as our Savior, that the revelation that God has given him and given to us is true. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. And set us apart by it, Lord. And as you have sent us into the world, even as you were sent into the world, help us to look at our lives and see, Lord, is my life one that is emulating you as having been sent into the world? Or am I still primarily interested in my own personal pleasures and selfish acts and so forth, and justified in that way in the deeds and so forth that I do for my own strength? But no, Lord, may we yield to you. And Lord, we thank you for this great example of prayer for the disciples, and we want to pray for others now sent into the world as you have been sent. We want to use the power of prayer that you've given us. So this morning, Lord, lead us and guide us, and in the areas you would have us to pray, for the church, for our pastors, for missionaries, Lord, for all of the outreaches in this time of the year, for the various things that you would put in our hearts, Lord. And we want to be in one accord, and we will be in one accord if we are praying in response to your leading, Holy Spirit. So guide us now and draw us together in Jesus' name. Amen.